Good morning, everybody. It's time for some Q&A with me outside. I think somebody must be getting a fence installed. I keep hearing a nail gun or something going off over there. Just going to kick off with a few announcements, and then if you guys have questions, you just ask, and then Mary Jo is going to put them over here into my channel so I can get all the questions answered. Number one is I am working on all things camp right now related. So for you guys, if you want to do the virtual option, as of right now, in-person camp is still happening. We were working on some stuff yesterday. We had our big quarterly team meeting yesterday that we schedule like four times a year. Just happened to be yesterday. And we were talking about camp and all the fun things that we're going to do. And then y'all, I'm a little hoarse. I have literally been talking for days now. So I am working on that and excited. So if you want to do the virtual option, since the in-person is sold out, you can go over to pnptribe.com. You can go to events, and it's also at the top of the main webpage. So you can go there and you can register virtual. If you decide to come virtual, then you will have replays of everything. There will be live chat of the entire time with the coaches in there. So it's going to be really cool. Then if you are anxiously awaiting the ending self-sabotage workshop, it will be up tomorrow. Good morning, everybody. So we will be putting that up tomorrow. We are, like, literally right now, the videos, oh my gosh, they take so long to upload. It's going to probably take 4 or 5 hours for the videos to upload. So we got them back yesterday, but I had decided to go on date night last night with Chris, and we went to a restaurant, and by the time I got home, I just like didn't set it off, and I should have set it off because I didn't realize it was going to take so long. So anyway, but everything will be loaded tomorrow. So you will have it inside the ending self-sabotage. If you go to the Breaking Self-Sabotage course inside the membership, you will have, your courses all loaded there. If you have a friend who didn't join, who's not a member, and they bought it, they're actually going to get a separate page for the public, but we're putting yours inside your bonus courses so that it's easy to find and all that kind of stuff. Let's see, what else? We are starting a new subgroup, and I think it's going live tomorrow too. So our women of color, we're going to start that subgroup. So that'll be added to our 55 plus, 35 and under, foodies, exercisers. If you don't know, we have amazing subgroups, and let me tell you how subgroups are run. We have, if you go to pnptribe.com and you go to the community tab, it'll talk about the Facebook community. And so within, this is like where we're at right now is what we call the main, like, game. This is where we all meet. This is where I do my lives and do all the things. And then we have these subgroups for, like, you know, common interests, because a lot of people, like let's say you're an exerciser. You probably enjoy being in the group with the people who are going to exercise. And if you are 55 plus, like, you have unique things that you want to talk about. And it's really more for you guys to just have smaller groups where you can talk and be with people that kind of have some shared experiences with yourself and stuff. They're all run by mentors. So we have someone who has volunteered, who's passionate about that subgroup, who volunteers, and they mentor those group. They are the mentor of the group. For our women of color, Ashley is going to be doing it. So she is going to be our mentor of record, and all that will launch tomorrow. So if you will look in the, it will come out in the Massive Action line. One of the things I do ask is that if you're not a woman of color, please do not ask to join the Woman of Color group. So it is for them so that they have their thing. It's kind of like, you know, the moms of unique kids, like unique needs kids. We formed that group because y'all know I have a passion for that topic because I have a child with unique needs. And, you know, just join the groups that speak to you, that, you know, are your, that are your shared experience. Okay. And let me see, is there anything else? I'm not sure if there's anything else. Oh, next week the coaches are going to be coming to town, so that we will still have Ask Coaches running and all that kind of stuff. But we will be here on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday doing the reboot for No BS, where we do a we usually do a good rewrite, and we do things either once or twice a year to keep the program very fresh. And so they will be here for that, so that'll be fun. We do not have a widows group. We don't have a widows group. Let's see. If you have a model that you need help with, you can either post it and ask coaches, or you can type it out in here and I can work on it. But guys, if you have any questions, you're going to need to use hashtag ask and go ahead and ask it so that I can start answering questions now. So if you guys go ahead and start putting those in, that would be awesome. Let me see. Is there anything else? Let me tell y'all a funny story while we're waiting for questions. Number one, Luau is just sitting on the other side of that window staring at me. He's like, please let me come outside. Last night, Chris and I, we went to dinner and I got this text from Logan. So I don't know if you guys know, but down by the fence, we have this bird feeder and the birds are kind of slobs and they get food everywhere. And these mice come up and from this, I've got these woods back here. And of course I'll see them by the fence line, you know, eating bird feed. And it just bothers the shit out of me. So Chris ordered something called the Rodent Sheriff. That is a spray that, like, they don't like, and so they're supposed to keep away from the fence. Well, Logan has been wanting me to buy chicken snakes to release in our yard to take care of the problem naturally. And I'm like, no, I am not buying a bunch of chicken snakes. I'm like, no. And so we go to dinner last night. Lo and behold, we've had one move in because we have a buffet that is at the backyard. And Logan is like, he's been excited. He's been trying to find this thing. He wants to see this snake and all this other stuff. Well, he finally found him last night and he got scared. So he's texting me and he said, I found the snake and I was more scared than I thought I would be. It's not like, you know, like at the zoo, it's one thing. And even though I know it won't hurt me, you know, in person, it's scary. And he said, I'm in the house. I'm doing my thought work. I know this is, no, he said, I'm in the house. I know it's just my thoughts. I'm going to get my mindset and I'm going back out there. I died laughing. I told Chris, I said, oh my gosh, that is son of life coach right there. I was like, he obviously listens to the shit I say. But it's a good lesson. You know, he's like, in person, it's just kind of like when we, like, it's like when we think we're going to be, like, I'm going to do good this weekend. Like, you're so motivated to have an amazing weekend on Wednesday. And it's like, I'm going to kick ass and blah, blah, blah. And then it happens the weekend. And all of a sudden, you want to eat. You want to do all these things. It's like, your brain, like, I think you have to realize it's just your thinking. And what most of us do is we get freaked out thinking something's going wrong because all of a sudden we want to eat all the things and we want to have a good time and all this other junk. And it's like, Logan's like, I'm going to get in here. I'm going to work on my mind and I'm getting back out there. So I think it's the same thing. Can you share tips on how to choose your goal weight versus goal weight range? I don't think there's anything different. I would just pick a goal for it. Like the easiest way to do it would be, let's say you want to weigh 150, just decide, all right, if I could maintain 145 to 155, does that feel good? Or is 150 the lowest I want to be? If so, then I have a 5 to 10 pound range upward. It's either way. Like for me, honestly, 150 is like the weight I like to be. And that's about as low as I want to be. So it's, every now and then I think about like wanting to weigh a little bit less, but honestly, it's like 150 is a solid, good weight for me. I look good. I feel good. I'm energetic. It's easy to, oh my gosh, I may have to go in. My phone is getting hot. Let me go inside. Crap. I really wanted to sit outside, but let me go over here. I just want to be outside. I'm going to be inside the rest of the day and I don't want to be outside. So I would do it that way. My range is 150 to 160. So that's kind of where I land most of the year. So that's just how I pick it. I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think you just have to kind of play with it and just figure out what do you like and what do you want to be. Like, don't get too hung up in there being a right or wrong on it. Let's see. This is going to be an amazing angle. I am sure. I am always looking so good. Like, when I'm outside, I for sure don't look super professional for you guys. I've been struggling this week. I am recommitting and getting back on track. I've lost 15.7 pounds in 2 months. That's great. Since joining, I am focusing on the core four this week. What are best level ups on the core four? All right. So are you talking about, like, so the core four is your own. Are you talking about the four basics, or Hannah, just give me more information. I want to know, are you, like, tell me what your core four are, because when I taught ending self-sabotage, I talked about the idea of there being a core four, and then there's the four basics. So tell me what yours are, and then I'll help you with that. I'm a May baby working on my 24-hour plan in the planner. I had noticed the food section is small and hard to get everything in. Is that by design? Thanks. It's not necessarily by design. It just depends on, like, it just depends on what all you're writing in there. I always have an abundance of room, because basically, like if I'm going to have a salad, it just says BAS. If I'm going to have, let's say I'm eating chicken, green beans, and sweet potato, just as something easy, I would just put chicken, green beans, and sweet potato. I don't know how much stuff you're writing in. So can you give me an example of all the things that you're writing in? And then you could always just add a sticky note if you need extra room. Let's see. I thought success comes from hard work. That's just a thought. I want you to think about that, Ashley. I want things to be hard. I figured out from a coaching call with Sierra, having a hard time finding and believing a new thought. Yeah, it's like you have to question it. Does success come from hard work, or does this is one that I will just tell you, I am totally in the pool with you, because I have always, like, when I was growing up, my mom worked really, in fact, Chris and I had this conversation last night. It's funny you even mentioned it. When I was growing up, my mom did have to work really hard. She had to work multiple jobs. She had to, you know, she had no education. She had to prove herself as a woman, an uneducated woman at that, and an uneducated single woman at that. And so, you know, I watched her always have to work more hours for nothing, and do things. And like, and my mom's messaging to me was, a lot of times she would just tell me, like, you know, well, you have to work harder because you're a woman, and you're going to have to work harder for these reasons. So that kind of got ingrained in me that was like, well, successful people must work hard. And I have really come to realize that when I'm working hard, very often I am doing not my best work. I am just pushing myself, and I am just burning out, and I am working from, like, fear and beating myself down and all this other stuff. And so I really started questioning the whole concept of it. And one of the things that I have been telling myself is, success isn't because of hard work. Success comes from being willing to work and figuring out, like, the best way to get it done. It comes from figuring, like, a lot of times, like, I'll have a day where I feel like I've just worked so hard. And the problem with the day, like, was that all day long, I told myself really shitty things in my head all day long. And it made the day feel hard. It, like, I would tell myself, well, if you don't get this done, you're going to be a failure. You know, like, I don't think a lot of us really understand what hard work is. And you have to define that for yourself. You have to figure out, like, for you, what are you making hard work mean? Like, and really write about it. Like, I think it means I have to work longer hours than everyone else. And then you ask yourself, why? Why do I need to work? Because the hard in that is, like, a lot of people love to work a lot of hours. My husband's one of them, and he never feels like it's hard. Because Chris is not in competition with anyone, himself or anyone else. He doesn't think that he has to look, like, put in a certain amount of hours in order to be approved of or well-liked or whatever. So I think it's like one of the, sorry, there's a bug on me. I think it's one of those things we have to question. So what I would do is I would just, like, as you're, like, rather than me giving you a new thought, is you're going to need to really figure out how you currently think now. A lot of you, I want you to hear me when I say this. You're not going to be able to believe new things, and you're not going to be able to, like, I can give you a million and one new thoughts to think, and they will sound good, but if they're running up against your inner beliefs, they won't stick. They just won't. And so before any of you do new thoughts, you have to, like, really look at what you're currently thinking. So I want you to, like, just give yourself, and this is how I best do, when I'm doing something like this, when I'm going to be debunking something I've always just believed and I just think is true, that doesn't mean, like, you're going to be fighting to believe it, but, you know, like, you would just say, like, no, like sometimes we just have these thoughts that we just think are true, and we're like, no, it's true. Like, I can go find evidence that success comes from hard work. I also could go out and find good examples of success coming from someone who works very deliberately, but not hard. So, like, you have to look at it all. So what I would do is I would just spend, like, 2 to 3 days, give yourself 5 to 10 minutes each day defining, like, what is hard work for me? Why do I think I need to work hard? What does it look like in my life? Why do I believe that it has to be hard? What payoff do I get from doing hard work? Like, what are the things that I tell myself? And if I'm working hard, what are the things I don't tell myself? If the work was easier or the work was more enjoyable, what would my thoughts be about it then? Because a lot of us, the reason why we don't make things easy on ourselves is that we have this belief that if it's easy, then it won't work, it's not good enough, and all this other stuff. So it's like, it makes sense that if you're perception of something being easy, that y'all do this with diets all the time. I just want to, like, point out the fucking obvious here, is that if your belief is that losing weight is going to be hard, then if I teach you to do the basics and I'm like, no, what we're going to do is we're just going to make small changes right now and everything feels really easy, you won't do it because your definition of easy will be, it won't work, I'm lazy, this can't be right. Like, you have to think about how you're judging that part of it. You will not be motivated. It will feel wrong. You will quit on it, not because it's not working. You'll quit on it because it feels too gross on the inside. So y'all have to think about stuff like that. You have to really think about, so, like, if you're like, success is hard work, everything that I've told you for that, you can directly apply it to weight loss. You could do the same exact work on, you know, your mentality around losing weight, and it being, if it has to, like, if you really believe, like, well, I know you teach the basics, I know you teach all this easy stuff, that all makes sense, but there's just going to be parts that are really hard. Just imagine if there wasn't. What if there just wasn't going to be parts that are really hard? What if there were just going to be all these times you're making food decisions and noticing things that you think? Like, I think about when I lost my 100 pounds. I was actually talking to Chris a lot about this yesterday. There were moments where things were, I would call it hard, but they weren't hard because I felt an emotional struggle. Like, I wasn't, like, anxious or feeling deprived or restricted, which I think a lot of you, when you think about losing weight as hard, when I ask you, well, tell me what's hard about it, you'll say, well, because I'm going to have to feel deprived and I'm going to have to feel restricted. I'm going to have to do these things. And I'm like, I don't think you have to. I remember not feeling that way when I lost my weight. I remember, in fact, I wish I could see it on my phone, but there is a concept that I'm going to be teaching you guys about, you need enthusiasm for the process. That is what I had. I had enthusiasm for my process. And it was because I was taking things slow. And it was because I was willing to learn things a little bit at a time. And I was constantly figuring out, like, little things to try and change. I had this enthusiasm for the process versus dread for the process. And it's like asking yourself, like, if I think, if I think losing weight, if I want to believe losing weight is going to be easy, what are my judgments about that? What are the things that I think it's going to take to lose weight? Like, a lot of you will say, All of this is pretty much going into some of the no Nubias. Well, there's a redneck. I hate fucking people like that. And I swear to God, if y'all got a son or a husband or something that does that, whatever. But I'm just telling you right now. Loud cars. You know how we all have pet peeves? That's one of mine. I'm just like, can you just get a quieter car? And I, like my brother, I swear to God, I can't even believe I'm telling y'all this because I'm in such judgment right now. My brother has a Mustang that's loud and he comes over and he works out. And I swear to God, when he leaves, he's like, wong, wong, and I'm just like, oh, I tell you, I'm just as petty as everybody else. I have my pet peeves and that would be one of them. All right. So when you think about, like, let's say you're sitting there and you're trying to think about, I think I'm going to have to be disciplined to lose weight. I mean, that sounds really good, right? Like, we all think we got to be disciplined to lose weight. The problem isn't, do we need discipline? The problem is how are we defining discipline? Because if you lack commitment or you lack discipline or you lack those feelings, then it is probably because your definition of what it's going to take to do those things fucking sucks. Like, do a download on what you think it's going to be. Like, a lot of you, if I said, you know, we're going to practice discipline this week, we're all going to be very disciplined. Some of you would be like, yay, like, I love me some good discipline. I like a structured plan. I like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And some of you would be like, oh no, that means we're not going to have any fun. We're not going to be able to do this. It means we're going to have to, like, not have the things we want. Well, no wonder you don't do discipline. If your idea of discipline means I can't have fun and I can't do all these things, remember when I taught you guys in Breaking Self-Sabotage and Ending Self-Sabotage, the motivational triad, your working definition, like when you say, like, I just need to be more committed, well, you need to tell me what you think commitment is. Well, you need to tell yourself. Because whatever you're telling yourself that's going to be required of commitment better be motivating, better seem pleasurable, and it should look easy. Because if it's not, your brain is not going to be like, and now I'm motivated. Your brain's going to be like, oh, that's a hell no. That seems very painful. Ain't no pleasure. Looks fucking hard. Back to donuts. That's what happens. I'm a May baby and started watching videos and have the planner, but not using it yet. All right, so let's just start using it. 2 to 4 minutes of planning seems impossible. Have you done it yet? Please point me in a starting point. I love the ideas, but seems overwhelming. Maybe I need a new accountability partner. Maybe I need an accountability partner. You could have one. But Tiffany, what are you going to eat for breakfast? Tell me what you're going to eat for breakfast. And lunch, and then dinner. Tiffany, right now, just type it in. What are you going to eat today? Seriously, I want to see, and then I'm going to come back. Like, I think the reason, like, first of all, I was talking about this yesterday. Somebody was in there talking about, I don't know if you're on here, but you were saying, like, I joined and I'm not listening to things and I started listening and then I quit and then I did this. I just don't see how this is going to work and blah, 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 blah. And I just went in and said, hey, let's just imagine for a minute, maybe I'm right and you're wrong that this will work. Like, have you done it yet? Guys, how often are you sitting around assuming something won't work, staying jacked up, overwhelmed and all this stuff? It's like, what if rather than worrying and like, cause I'm going to tell you, Tiffany, probably what your life looks like is, I'm so worried that's going to take a long time. I don't know about that. I'm just going to set that planner over here. And then you think like, all right, that's going to be the solve to my overwhelm. I'm just going to set this over here. That seems impossible. All right, now I don't have to worry because I put the planner over here. Except every time you see the damn planner, you think, well, I probably should do that, but I don't think that's going to work. I don't know. And then every single time you want to lose weight, you go into judgment and you go into overwhelm about, like, well, I don't know if that's going to work. And I don't know, like, you're not solving the problem by not doing. All of you, no, not one single solitary one of you quits, doesn't listen to a video, doesn't do the plan and stuff. You're not solving the problem of whatever you're feeling. You're pushing it aside for a minute to get the relief from your own judgment of yourself. And then it nags at you all the time. Every single time you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, you catch a reflection of yourself, you got to put on your clothes, all like you're taking a shower, and like all these moments where you have to be with yourself and your body, that planner is just sitting over there not getting used. And you're probably thinking like, oh, I just wish I could lose some weight. I don't know. Planning just seems so hard. Like, it's there. It's just there with low-level anxiety all the time. And I'm like, rather than just sitting around in low-level anxiety, why don't you just decide to be wrong? Be wrong about your thoughts. Seriously, we had our team meeting yesterday, and I am just like getting coached in front of my whole team. So I always bring in a coach, and this is what we do because I believe in coaching, and so I bring somebody in to coach us. Well, this is our quarterly meeting. We get started. And nobody seemed to want coaching. I was like, well, I do. So like, I lay in on the mess of my brain and all the things. And she just said, I don't understand why you've decided to believe everything you think. I was like, what? I was like, say that one more time. I want to write this down. Because it was like a stunner moment for me. I'm going to take these out because my batteries are dying. She's like, I get you have thoughts. I just can't believe that you've decided to believe them. I'm like, oh my God, I teach this stuff all the time. And it was just like, it was one of those moments where, you know how somebody just says something and you hear it at the exact moment you need to hear it? And that was a moment. And that is what I want to tell you, Tiffany. And I want to tell all of you, you know, you sit there and you think, this probably won't work. Why believe that thought? Why even act on it? Just like take a minute right now. Is that something that you want to base your future on? Because that's what you guys do when you give it credibility. Have the balls to say, I want more for myself than what this thought's offering me right now. I'm willing to do it wrong. I'm willing to, like, know that I am not a fucking expert. You, my friends, are not an expert at losing weight. I am. And if you're having thoughts that question my program, you need to, like, check yourself. I know what I'm doing. If you're not losing weight, you might not know what you're doing. You might as well trust me. That would be called doing it the easy way. Or you can do it the hard way, which is believe every bullshit thing you think, act on it, sit around scared all the time, wringing your hands, wanting and wishing for weight loss, and just not doing shit about it. It is not as hard as you want it to be. And I know a lot of you want the weight loss to be hard because you talk so terribly to yourself. If you are stuck judging yourself all the time, the weight loss will have to be hard because you will be trying to punish yourself. The tactics of which to lose the weight will have to match the inner conversation of which you have. They will have to go hand in hand. So I just want you to think about this. Whenever you have a thought like, I just think it's like plan is going to be too hard. How about we decide if it's going to be hard after we've done it for 60 days? That's when you get like, this is what's crazy to me. And I do this shit myself. So I like, am like, this is, you know, for sure. I get it. But I love how we can have an opinion that something's not going to work or that something's going to be really hard and everything before we actually even do the thing for a while. You know when the best time to form an opinion is? After you've actually done it. Like, how about you just plan every day for 60 days and then decide at the end of 60 days, is this an overwhelming, too hard, I don't want to do this process or not? Is this working for me or not? Rather than beforehand deciding. I think that's just the crappy-ass way to do it for all of us. All right. Planning takes me 5 minutes max in the morning. It's not hard. Just do it. Yeah, like, what do I want to eat today? What sounds good? What's available? What's my day going to be like? Like, guys, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have a really emotional day and you think you might want to end up drinking some wine or eating something, I would probably just put that on the plan. I would rather you have it on the plan and do it consciously and with your brain who wants, like, your goals and your dreams. Like, I would rather that part of your brain, if you're, let's say that you're going to have a really bad day and you know, like, your kids have been acting like asses and the teachers are like, you got to go to the conference, you know what's coming, it's probably not going to be, like, fun, right? And you're like, you know what, this is probably one of those nights where it's going to be really, like, I would hope that I eat a salad, but I don't know if that's in the realm of possibility for me. I know that, like, my tendency would be to eat pizza because I would be stressed and have a glass of wine. I'm just going to put pizza and a glass of wine on there. And so that tonight when I'm having it, I'm like, this is on the plan. This is not what's going to get me to weight loss, but I know for sure what doesn't get me to weight loss. Reacting to food and eating and coping with food. This is me being very deliberate, planning it ahead, and doing it with my eyes wide open now. That is a level up. That is a level up many of you need to be making. And then what happens is you get to decide if you want to break the plan and have a salad instead. If it's pizza and wine time, and maybe the day didn't go as bad as you thought, or maybe it went horrific, and you get to it, and the last thing you want, you're like, you know what? I really don't want to eat the pizza. I know this is about coping with food, and I know this is about whatever. I'm going to break my own plan and put a salad on there. That's how change happens. That's how you lose weight. When you guys sit there and give me that bullshit line of, I just don't see how I'm going to be able to lose weight and eat these things. Putting it on a realistic plan, like, the reason why you've never lost weight eating those foods before has nothing to do with the foods. It has everything to do with why you ate them in the first place. Because you didn't plan, because you weren't thinking about your needs, because you were reacting, because you were judging yourself, because you were tuning out, because you were eating in fuck it moments. Weight loss is bigger than just what foods actually go on the plan. This is a process of deconstructing self-loathing and abusive patterns you have with yourself, how you think, and then reacting to it with the food. That is where the weight loss is. That's why you're here. You are here to learn how to be a normal eater. You are here to be a no BS woman so that you can stop taking shit off yourself. So that you're not doing fuck it eating anymore. It's like, no, I make a plan. When I know that I might break my plan, I make a damn realistic plan. Because I don't eat in response to my emotions anymore. And every one of you have to start telling yourself that. I don't care if you are eating in response to your emotions anymore. If you don't start having that conversation right now, you're never going to be that person. And just because you have an emotional eat doesn't make you an emotional eater. It makes you somebody who on this night chose this, but I am not an emotional eater. You know why? Because I am learning how to deconstruct every little thing that makes me want to eat and cope with food. But I am not an emotional eater anymore. You get to claim that no matter what. And a lot of you are so like, well, I can't think that because I don't believe it. And I'm like, how are you ever going to believe anything if you don't start thinking it ahead of time? I know the sure way of never becoming that person. That's by never thinking it. I'd rather you feel skeezball thinking it and it be gross internally and shaking you to the core and making you think about yourself than to sit there and be lulled into the comfort of saying, well, I'm just an emotional eater. Well, quit being comfortable sad and quit being comfortable with feeling bad about yourself. That's some shit. We got to quit doing it. Man, I'm just talking about all the things today. This is quite the Q&A. Hey, if my team can go in and do some check marks, that would be great. I was never great at believing compliments when I was 254 pounds. Well, I've lost 40 and I can see a difference and I'm feeling better about myself. People can see the weight loss and they're giving me compliments. I say thank you, but immediately start saying, oh, thanks. I still have 60 pounds I want to lose. I don't know why I feel the need to say this. Am I just fat girl thinking that I just can't fully accept the compliment? This we're not going to do thought work on. We're just going to start saying thank you. And notice that you have the urge to want to say, but I still have 60 pounds to lose. It's just you not wanting to step into the identity of someone who's losing their weight for good. That's it. Like, you just need to start saying thank you. I think what happens with a lot of people is the reason why we say, but I still have 60 more pounds to go. It's like that idea of that inner critic of yours probably doesn't feel like she's good enough. I'm just guessing here, but this is what's happened for me and like some of the things I work on. Like if your inner belief is like, when you think about yourself, like if you tend to go to and like, think about when you feel the most challenged or when things are like, you know, say wrong or whatever, what is it that you in like, what is your go-to that you end up believing about yourself? And for me, it's always that I'm not good enough. And so I've always done this of like, if somebody tells me something, I'm like, yeah, but I'm still working on this. That is like reinforcing that. Don't forget, Corinne, you're not good enough yet. It's just a subtle way. So that's usually what that raises like the flag of that, like talking that way. So one of the two things that you can do for yourself, number one is start writing in your journal and say, like today, here are all the things I'm doing that totally prove that I'm good enough. Like, here are the things that I'm doing for me. Here are the things that I'm going to think about me. This is very helpful for keeping the weight off for the long run. In fact, if you guys are coming to camp, I am tying a lot of this work in. I asked all of the July campers, what did they most want to learn at July camp? And overwhelmingly, I want to believe I'm going to lose the weight and this be the last time. Like, I want to be confident. It was a lot of talk around confidence and believing things and that kind of stuff. So I'm making sure that I'm teaching several things, but I'm lacing into all of it. Like, I always like to think about when I'm going to teach a camp, what are the themes that I want? And I think the theme of this one is going to be tying all the stuff that I teach on how you build your confidence. Because if you build your confidence, here's what happens. You build your confidence, you end up, when you get there, you have confidence and you don't need to believe anymore that you're going to keep it off. If you learn it on the way down, it's very helpful. So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to just do some work on being good enough and stuff. And then the second thing I want you to do is you're going to need to resist the urge to dismiss the compliment. So just when they say it, just say, thank you. I've been working very hard. Dead stop, period. It will feel gross. It will feel terrible. You will not believe how many of us women have a hard time taking a compliment and just dead stopping. All right. I'm a May baby and I'm stoked to be here. As I start, I'm wondering if I start off with incorporating in my plan what has worked in the past, low carb, no added sugar, or if I start without the BS rule in my brain. It's only a BS rule if you don't like it. So here's what I want to say about low carb, not eating sugar, if you want to be a clean eater, whatever, like pick your diet. I don't have a problem. I think there's a misconception out there because I do talk about like a lot. Let me just say this. I do not have a problem with any style of eating. At all. I think what I have a problem with is when you are picking that style of eating because you think it's the only thing that will work. You do not take into consideration how you want to live your life. Now, I have a lot of clients, especially in the special diets area. I gotta take my head's hurting, y'all. I gotta take my, I don't know, this thing is like hurting my head today. I have a lot of clients in the special diets group who absolutely love doing keto, or they love no sugar, no flour, and it isn't for the weight loss. They physically feel so much better. Like, we have some girls that have, well, I think about, like, we have a couple of girls that have, like, severe, like, autoimmune things. And when, like, they would love to eat pizza, and they would love to eat flour and stuff. Don't get me wrong. They're like, if I could, I would. But they physically suffer so that they can't. And then that becomes not a I feel deprived moment. It becomes a I choose a certain quality of life. I will figure out how to love these foods for my own sake. So my niece is such a good example of this. She's my niece is 18, and she has one of the markers for celiac. So she doesn't have celiac, but if you have one, you typically have a lot of the symptoms that somebody with celiac disease will have. So my niece, if she gets gluten, like, and she'll know it within about 10, 15 minutes, her stomach will hurt so bad. She knows she has to leave wherever she's at. It's like, you know how like the Incredible Hulk, like when he noticed he was going to change, he would want to run away because he was going to turn into the Hulk. Well, she's going to shit her pants. Like, that's her side effect. Like, a total dump in her britches. And, you know, she's 18. And she doesn't want to shit her pants in front of, like, her peers. And so she has to leave parties and stuff because sometimes she gets a hold of some food that they told her was gluten-free and it wasn't gluten-free. Well, she's made a choice at 18 to not eat those foods. And I will tell you, this child loves macaroni and cheese, pizza, and all the things like anybody else. But she also doesn't like crap in her pants. And she hates how miserable she feels. And then her RA flares up. So for 2 days, if she gets a hold of gluten, she can't even bend her fingers. That's what I'm talking about when it comes to BS food rules. Pick the ones you want, but pick them because you want them. Not because they're an ends to a means, that they're going, like, you can lose weight any way you want. Well, that's fucking amazing. Let's go in, ladies. So now, my father's Corinne, and that's a good lawnmower. If you've been with me for a while, you know how I hate lawnmowers. And, but I rarely ever can do a live or anything where one doesn't flare up. I always tell people, I must be the lucky charm for lawnmowers. So we'll move inside. It'll be fine. I got my fresh air. Oh, I mean, not let Luau. Oh my God, y'all have to see Luau. Look at that dumbass cat. That cat is ridiculous. He was sleeping. He was like making those twitchies. All right, watch out, Louie. Whatever you do, don't get out of the way. All right. So anyway, when you're picking, sorry, y'all. When you are picking your diets and your meal plans and what you're going to eat and all this other stuff. And guys, when I say diet, please don't like get like jacked up on that. To me, a diet is just the food you pick. So hang on a second. Let me turn my damn TV off. The TV's on too. It's like all the things. I want you thinking about, what do you want for yourself? Like, you know, do you want to be low carb? If you like that, then do that. If you don't like it, then don't do it. But here's the thing. Even if you do pick low carb, and let's say you love it and all the other things, you're probably going to have food urges and stuff. Don't not do it to avoid having food urges. Like, I would rather you have urges and learn how to overcome them because you do like eating that way. Or if you don't like eating that way, what I don't want you to do is to sit there and flame out on urges all the time because you're picking some asshat diet that you don't even want to be doing long term. You just think it's going to get you to an ends to a means. What does my Saturday look like today? Well, I will be, after I do this, I've already gone for my long walk this morning. I've already talked to my team this morning and kind of, I think I've talked to two or three of them already this morning. Probably take a shower after this, eat my breakfast. And then I am working on a camp workbook today, and I am filming a welcome video for the new subgroup. I don't even know what all I'm doing today. I've got a list. And then I will be doing what I do my weekly planning on Saturdays. So I'll also end the day with, I close out the week before. So I look at, like, here's all the things that I got done. I clean out my inbox. I do that at least once a week. So I clean out my email inbox. I do a little some of that admin work. And then I will make my plan for next week and schedule and time block all my time for next week. So I'll be doing all that today. And then probably knock off around 4 or 5 o'clock today. And I'll probably try to knock off around 4 today and then lay out for a little bit and read. Y'all know I'm reading books like crazy right now. I'm always reading books like crazy. I don't know why I act like I don't. But I want to do my, I'm reading the book. I'm actually reading 2 books right now. No, I'm reading 3. I am reading Me and White Supremacy. So I want to do my day 3 work there. And then I'm also rereading Chasing Cupcakes. I'm just reading and re-listening to it because I want to, when I interview with Elizabeth for you guys, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm up on all the things. And I'm also reading a book called The Lazy CEO. It's so funny. We talked about hard work earlier. It's a good book because it talks to you about how to be the lazy CEO. The lazy CEO is not like you're just sitting around like doing nothing. It's more about you have to just like study more. You know, like you guys need me studying. You guys don't need me like updating web pages and stuff. And so anyway, it's just talking about that kind of stuff. And so I'll probably read today. I'll probably read for about an hour, hour and a half. I probably will do about 30 minutes for each book, something like that. Let's see. So thank you for asking, Celeste. And then I'm going to bed early tonight. Do you write your daily weight in your planner or just weekly in Hello Scale? I just do it on, I actually have the Happy Scale app. So I do the Hello Scale worksheet each week, but I keep track of my, I don't weigh every single day, but when I do weigh, I keep, y'all, my hair. I use the Happy Scale app. I just love that app. I think it's such a good way for you guys to weigh in and build a healthier relationship with your, with the scale because it keeps you trending towards, it just adjusts your goals and stuff. And it gives you little wins. It's just good for your brain the way I just love it. And it's free. I was a fitness addict and stopped and now feel I have a fear that I'm not fit and I'll fall into addiction and now I'm 48 years old and scared of injuries. I'm struggling with the model around it because I'm not sure of my fitness goal. Well, I would quit calling yourself a fitness addict, number one, because it's probably not helpful. So that is a thought, not a circumstance. And when you think about you were a fitness addict, knowing how that makes you feel, and run models on that. What I would do also, so I would run models on those thoughts, but I would ask myself, because you're telling me like we're afraid of, right? Tell me what you want. Tell yourself what you want. Because what will happen, guys, and this is so good for all of you, when you think about like what you want with your weight loss or you think you what you want with your food and you want what do you want with your exercise. When you make yourself right about it, it will bring up a lot of your garbage because you'll naturally want to start talking about what you don't want or your brain. Like once you write like, well, I would really love to be someone who exercise, like I would just like to be someone who exercises 4 days a week and one of those days is yoga and blah, blah, blah. Well, for someone who used to exercise all the time to injury and everything, what you'll notice is what you want, you will have a lot of judgment over it. And you will tell yourself things like, well, that won't be good enough. Or that, you know, that's like lazy workouts. Like you'll do something like that. Same thing with food. If I ask you, like, well, what do you want with your relationship with food? And some of you who are used to extreme dieting will say, well, if I could have anything I wanted, it would be that I could eat my favorite foods with control and, you know, comes up for you. But putting those foods on the plan brings judgment up for you. It brings up like, that's not going to be good enough or whatever. That's the exact things you want to be finding. And those are the things that you want to work through with your models and stuff. What most of you do is you find those things and you feel terrible for having them and you immediately go to, this is why it won't work. And so then you just quit and you go back to struggling with the way that you've always done it. And you go back to the way you've been struggling with it because there's some certainty there that you know how to do this. To do it a new way requires feeling uncertainty. And most of us will run from uncertainty every single time. So it's really important to think about, okay, like I just have all these judgments. What is it going to take for me to make this happen? It's probably going to take courage. It's probably going to take me noticing a lot of things I think and redirecting my thoughts. So much of like actually eating the way you want and becoming the person you want and stuff. It's not about the things you do as much as it is about your willingness to override your thinking over and over and over again. It's kind of like what I was telling you guys earlier when my coach said, you know, just because you think it doesn't mean you have to believe it. Like, I'm just shocked you're believing all your thoughts. Like, don't believe things that you don't want to believe. Like, and that was a shock for me because it's like, just knowing this is a thought I'm choosing to believe. Like, in that moment, it clicked. Like, I know I teach this, but for me personally, when you're in your own emotional stuff, it's kind of harder to see. And so I was just like, yet again, what feels so real right now, like I can feel it viscerally in my bones, like my breathing is shallow, like it feels real, is still just a sentence causing chemicals to put emotion in my body. And I don't have to believe it. I can just recognize it as a thought. I don't have to latch onto it as it's true. That right there, you don't even need a new thought. You don't need to do anything else. The just witnessing of it and talking to yourself about it in that way, guys, it gives so much relief. And Kathy and I were actually on the phone this morning. We were going through things that we had to get done this weekend. She's got, by the way, Kathy's baby, her grandbaby is getting baptized today. So she's all excited. So we had to get everything wrapped up before, because once not, Nana's out. Nana's like, peace out. So we were just kind of talking about how I think a lot of people right now, when you take basically since March, there's just been a lot going on in the world that just like, I think we could just put a lot going on in the world in the C line. I think a lot of people are seeking relief. That's why you're seeing liquor sales go through the roof. People are gaining weight and stuff like that. And Kathy and I were talking about how much work we've been doing recently on ourselves, on seeking relief in our mind. That's the missing component. We all want relief. There's nothing wrong with wanting relief. It's just making sure that we're getting our relief in a way that truly helps us. That it's not like eating in the moment is not providing relief. Eating in the moment is a distraction to the things that you're thinking and feeling for them to just come right back. When the food is done, all of that will come back. The fear, the panic, the worry, the anxiety, the overwhelm, the doubts, the uncertainty, whatever you're, you know, whatever you are going through personally right now. Those things come back if the thought that generated them to begin with hasn't been looked at and examined and there's some space. So for me, what I do is I like to just look at some of the things that feel very overwhelming, very breathtaking, stressful, whatever. And I look at them and I like to remind myself, you know, like this is how I'm thinking right now. There is a relief that comes from just that part where I can still feel the heavy, but I don't have to feel the overwhelm of it all because I understand it's a thought. And if I could wave my magic wand seriously and give all of you one gift, it would not be your weight loss. Like the one gift I would give all of you is the ability to recognize your thinking. So that, because once you get to where you can recognize your thinking and like really recognize it's just thinking, you get to feel a little better at any moment you want. It can travel with you. It can go to the bathroom. It can be anywhere you want. And it is the first critical step to truly making lasting change in anything you want to believe about yourself and anything that you want to do in this world. It's going to be opening up tomorrow at Maka. We're going to send out the women of color. That group will open tomorrow. We have to get, in order to get a group set up, there's a lot of tech work. You wouldn't believe how much tech work. Well, let's put it this way. If we wanted to throw one together, we could, but we don't just throw one together. We have to get the website updated. We have to get it inside the massive action line, the group itself. We have to turn on certain controls. We have to design a banner. Like, we like everything to look the same. So everybody's working on it today, but we should have it up by tomorrow. So, but we'll send, it's going to go out. The link will go out in the massive action line tomorrow, and we'll have it connected inside our group and all that kind of stuff. All right. Let's see. I drink a version of your coffee when I did keto and I loved it. The problem is that a keto rule in my head is that since I'm not going to lose drinking the coffee if I am not doing keto, I have 200 pounds to lose. You can drink the coffee and not do keto. I think I don't do keto and I drink the coffee. A lot of people do the coffee and they don't do keto. It's more of just like a way to get healthy fats up. Like, I will just tell you guys, if you have achy joints, that coffee is really good for that because it lubes your joints up and stuff good. It also makes you think a little sharper, but you just like drink the coffee for breakfast. You're just not going to eat until lunch. The coffee becomes your breakfast. Eat whatever you want for lunch. You don't have, like, just because you did that coffee when you did keto doesn't mean a lot of people call it keto coffee. Guys, that is their branding. That doesn't mean that's the only way it works. Don't get caught up in somebody's marketing game and then base your diet life off of it. Is it okay to choose to eat vegetables and protein, healthy fats for a while, or do you think it's an old diet rule? Guys, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Like, nothing. Like, I pretty much now just eat those kinds of things. I mean, I throw some pop chips and stuff in there every now and then, but vast majority of my life is that way because I've learned to love it. I like the energy it gives me. So no, there's nothing wrong with it. It's an old diet rule. Like, when we think about diet rules, guys, I want you to think about, I'm eating this. Why? Why am I choosing this? Is it because I think it's the only thing that will work? Blah, 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 blah. Or is it like, you know, if I didn't have food drama, this is how I would love to eat. Like, I would love to be someone. Like, I want you to think about when I was losing weight. I don't know. Can y'all see Spoony? Would you like to wave to the people? Hello, the people. I didn't realize his cute ass was standing above me. One of the things that I think that you guys need to do is when you're, like, I love the question of, if I didn't have any drama and stuff, what would I be eating like? That is pretty much how I lost weight. So when I was, like, I knew who I wanted to be. Like, I was just like, I dreamed of being someone that eats basically like I eat today. Like, I just remember sitting there going, oh, I would love to be, like, a healthy eater. And I would love, like, I remember, like, I want to be one of those people that food preps. And just, like, I just thought that was, like, the best thing ever. And so what I did was like, well, okay, what can I start doing? Like, and I didn't try to go all in on it. I just started making gradual shifts. But I started layering that stuff in because it's who I wanted to be. It never felt like a diet rule. Now, for some of you, you don't want to be, like, if you hate vegetables, you probably aren't dreaming of being a vegetable eater. So that's what I want you guys thinking about when it comes to old diet rules. An old diet rule will feel bad usually, or will feel like it's a have to. Like, you'll be using words like I should, I have to. When the ending self-sabotage comes out for you guys tomorrow, if you didn't watch the live version, watch this one. I know it's a full day's worth of stuff, but watch it over the course of the month because I do talk about that in there. But it, you know, it will, you will be using language and the energy around it will feel very much like you're forcing yourself into it. Versus what I want you guys doing is creating your food habits and stuff around you're not forcing yourself to do things. You're inviting yourself to do it. You're challenging yourself to do it. You're like, I want to try this. This is what I want for me. And it may not be easy because I will want these other things, but it's not going to be hard because I'm telling myself I have to eat this way. And it's not going to be hard because I think this is the only way I can eat. And it's not going to be hard because I keep telling myself I can't have these things. That's the hard part that I want to erase. That's what makes dieting actually hard. There's like the hard part of it being full of judgment and shoulds and forcing. And then there's just the part of it that's hard where it's like, gosh, you know, this is when I'm going to honor my commitment to myself. Like I said, I wasn't going to drink tonight and everybody's having a margarita. This is like, it's not going to be easy sitting here because I would like to have one, but I also really tomorrow want to wake up without a hangover, go for a walk and see the scale move. Like, do you notice the different hard? Like, it would be like a low level discomfort of like, I know I'm going to want it and I know that it would be good and everything, but I know these other things for myself too. Versus what most of you do is you'll say like, well, I'm not drinking for 30 days. Then every time you're around people who are drinking, you just think about this sucks. I can't wait for 30 days to be over with. You know, that looks so good. I wish I could have one. I hate that I even started this damn thing. Like, that's hard. That's called taking the hard road. Okay, let's see. What time are we running up on? All right, we got a couple minutes. Let's see. Is it okay to want to follow the program diligently and all in for self-love and building a better relationship with food without wanting to lose weight? Yeah. You don't have, like, guys, that's fine. But here's what I do want to say about it. If you want to do all that, that's great. But just know you can do all that and lose weight at the same time. They're not exclusive. Like, you don't have to do your mental work first to lose weight. Like, you could do all your mental work and decide you won't emotionally eat while you do it. You could just, like, have a very compassionate plan and just be like, I'm going to learn how to do the planning. I'm going to do all the things, you know, and just see what happens. I just don't want you to think, like, I notice some people will do this every now and then. They'll think, well, I have to learn to love myself and I need to do all my mental work first. Then I can start the weight loss. I don't think you have to do it that way. In fact, I usually don't encourage people to do it that way because then you'll get stuck and there always will be something to fix on your brain. You're never going to like heal your brain. It's always going to have problems. And you'll continue to kind of stall out over there you'll use it as an excuse to not get started with the food. That's one thing I see happen. And then the other thing that I see happen is you'll be doing a lot of mental work, but you won't be doing the most important mental work, which is not using food as a buffer for uncomfortable feelings. But you don't have to do it that way either. If some of you are just like, you know what, here's what I'd like to do this month. I really want to work with the self-love prompts. I want to get really good at the planning. I just want to notice hunger stuff, even if I'm not going to follow the hunger scale. For some of you, this is the best start that you could do is, you know what? Like, I'm going to notice if I'm getting hungry or not and figure out those signals. I'm going to notice when satisfied is. Even if I keep eating, I at least want to, when I'm ready to pull the trigger on stopping, I want to know what my signals are. Planning my food, all the things, like get some of the basics down. Like, just plan whatever you want to eat, but get good at planning. And then that way, when you want to start changing the foods out, you already have the habit of the planning down. When you're ready to stop eating at a 2, you already know the signals. Every now and then, wait until you're hungry. Or just track for a month. Like, I notice I never wait until I'm hungry. What are going to, like, start noticing what days might be the easiest? to start waiting for hunger? Like, is there, like, I probably could just start with breakfast. Maybe the rest of the day I'm not ready, but I could probably start now waiting for breakfast to be hungry. Or maybe it's lunch, whatever it is. Like, looking at all the areas, I am just going to tell you, if you just get started and you do all this stuff, you'll lose your weight for the rest of your life. What burns most of you out is that you think that all that's not good enough, and you sit on the fence doing nothing. Or you know yourself well enough that you'll try to do all the things and you won't keep going after a couple of weeks. What are some, somebody's down 21 pounds. All right, Jessica. What are some ways to manage my mind around the cumulative low energy drain coming from my thoughts about my kids acting like turds? I would list all the thoughts you have about your kids. And then I would probably ask myself, am I judging myself for having the thoughts? Usually, if you have thoughts about your kids being a turd, what drains you emotionally the most is you thinking you shouldn't think that way, or wishing you didn't think that way, or wishing they would act different. Look for some of those thoughts first. Those are the easiest ones to clean up, to be like, I'm not judging myself. Sometimes I'm fucking frustrated with my kids. You know what? Them little assholes deserve it right now. They're acting like turds. No wonder I'm so frustrated. I have a thought that they shouldn't be doing it that way. Like, I think sometimes just being like super like, yep, this is how I'm thinking. A lot of times when we feel emotionally drained by our emotions, it's because we're fighting our emotions. We're trying to get out of them, or we're judging ourselves for having them. If you drop those two pieces, most of our emotions are super tolerable. It's when we're like, I just want to be happy, or I just want them to do better, whatever. That's when we start getting hosed up. Hey, Terry, down 96 pounds. Damn. And I even was able to read that with my no glasses blindness and hair standing straight on end. I love your nails. Is it gel or shellac? Do your nails ever get beat up underneath the polish? This is the SNS stuff, where the dip powder. I will say, I had to take them off during quarantine, and so I let them heal. They were pretty beat up, but I had had them on literally for like 2 or 3 years. So what I learned through that is to wear them for about 6 months, have them remove them, go a month without them, and then put them back on, and oil them each day. So I'm going to start doing that. I just never knew to do it. And when I was going in, I was like, I'm just going to take the nails off because I know you guys are going to be closed for a long time. I'm going to let them breathe. And she was like, kind of telling me like, yeah, like every 6 months you should do that. And I'm like, what? Somebody should have told me before now. What is the difference between exception foods and off plan? Exception foods are basically foods that you're not normally going to plan for weight loss, like if it's pizza or nachos or whatever. I don't really teach exception foods. My mentor teaches exception foods, but if you guys are like, if you hear about it either in old videos, or we used to teach this, I now just teach the concept of the realistic planning. And then that means that, you know, like realistically for me, most days I'm eating my salads and I'm eating my healthy meals and all that kind of stuff. A couple times a week, like I have what I would call exceptions. My realistic plan a couple times a week is to go out to eat. I'm probably going to have my wine. I'm probably going to have, whatever I want to plan, like nachos or something like that. For me, that's like technically an exception. It just goes on my plan. It's not off plan at all. A lot of you are starting with like a lot of those foods are just the things you're going to be planning. That's why I kind of moved away from exception planning, is that I would rather just teach you guys how to have a really healthy relationship with food, to where you're planning these foods in a way that helps you with like enjoying the food you eat, plus you are able to lose weight and you're eating your 2 to 2. I teach very differently. I don't know if you guys, it's my mentor, like her program's very different than mine. I do coach over there sometimes, but like this month I happen to be doing in her membership their buffering call. So it's just a different mentality. And I don't think either one is right or wrong. I just personally, this is how I lost my weight. And I think this is the way that I, for my clients, I think is what I stand behind and what I love and what I see people succeed for the long haul with. And that's just kind of how I feel about it. So, but not to say the other way is wrong. So when an off plan eat is when you scheduled this and you ate that, that is an off plan eat. Okay. That's it for today. We are going to, I want to answer this one because this is one I don't answer very often. What's your protocol after you've had surgeries? I had a minor one Thursday and I feel so bloated and the bowels are not moving the way they normally do. And I've been drinking a shit ton of water. Get on Miralax, ASAP, and Colace. Take both. My protocol for surgeries, just in case anybody's going to be having one anytime soon, is I take Colace the day before. And then the moment I come off anesthesia, I am hitting Colace and Miralax like it's nobody's business. I have had a surgery before. It's the funniest fucking story ever. If y'all have a minute, I'm not going to coach anymore after this. So if you're listening to the replay and you would like to end here, this is the best poop story that ever lived. But let me just tell you what happened. So I had my lower body lift. So essentially, I don't know if you guys can see my legs. I was cut from here. Oh, this dude's telling me rotate my phone. I don't like that. I was cut from here all the way up to the hoodie and like all the way around to my ass and then up the gut. So I had like this big ass surgery. And I come home. Could you imagine how much anesthesia and how many painkillers I'd been on for 2 days? And this was about like day 3 or 4. If my mama's on here, she'll remember this. So I couldn't go to the bathroom. Just couldn't go to the bathroom. And I'd been taking I'd started too late, the Colace and the Miralax. And my mom was a nurse. And I was having like the urge to go to the bathroom so bad that I hobbled my ass into the toilet, could not go to the bathroom, but needed to go so bad that I was sweating. And I started feeling like I was going to pass out. And so I stood up. My mom grabs me and Chris and my mom get me to bed. And she said, baby, like, if you fall, you're going to have to go to the emergency room and they ain't going to be kind to you. Like, you've got all these sutures and everything. She said, you need an enema and let me do it. And I was so miserable. I was like, whatever you got to do, just go get it. So at like 2 a.m, my mom is at Walgreens buying a fleet of enema. She gets home. She gives me the enema. This story, I can still picture it in my brain. And she's like, now just hold on. We're going to try. You need to keep that in there like 10 minutes. And she's like, just hold it. And like, if you know my mom and the way she talks, you can just hear her. And so she comes around like to like basically sit with me. And I'm like this. And I said, pray with me. And she said, okay. And I went, out loud. It's like, do the Hail Mary out loud. Because I was like, I needed to go to the bathroom. I had this fleet enema. I was cut from head to toe. I was just like all the things. 4 minutes in, it worked magic. She got my ass in there. And I swear to God, y'all, I had the biggest bowel movement. There was more relief in that bowel movement than when I even had Logan. It was just so relieving. And I took a shower, and I remember I just laid out on the bed with no clothes on, and I just said, I feel like a new woman. So, moral of the story is, after that, I have never had a surgery where I did not start Colace the day before. Every person who's come through this group who has had plastic surgery, I have given them my poop protocol because it's like, get it started before it's too late. So just get on it now. And you take it around the clock until you start going. Like, you just don't stop. Drink the water. I'm sure that we have plenty of people in here who might have better advice or even more advice or whatever, but that's mine. But yeah, that's one of my favorite moments. My mom and I have a lot of hilarious stories of things that we've said and done together, just bullshit. But that's always my favorite. So, all right. If Colace does not work, then change to plain Senna. You can take up to 8 a day. There you go. All right, y'all. Y'all have a good one. I'll be in the Facebook later today checking on some posts and everything. And y'all have a great day. Bye, y'all.